Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on the seventh day of September 2022. Before I introduce my guest, who I'm very excited to introduce and interview, I just have a couple of very exciting announcements. For those of you who have not heard, in addition to my pastor's luncheon, my biannual pastor's luncheon, featuring Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who is our keynote speaker, on Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County, Pennsylvania. In addition to that event that we've been advertising for many weeks, we just recently had confirmed 100% that Dr. Peter Van Kleek is going to be debating Dr. James R. White the Saturday after the pastor's luncheon. That's Saturday, September 24th at 4 p.m. And the theme of the debate is going to be the Textus Receptus as the Word of God is equal to the New Testament autographs. And that will be Dr. Peter Van Kleek affirming and Dr. James R. White opposing or denying. So mark your calendars for that. That is also a free event. And unlike the pastor's luncheon, everybody, men, women, and children, are all welcome free of charge to Church of the Living Christ, Saturday, September 24th, 4 p.m. And I hope to see many of you there. Also, I just want to announce that we just had recently confirmed from Pete Hegseth, of Fox News, that he will be on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, not only to discuss his latest book, Battle for the American Mind, Uprooting a Century of Miseducation. He's also going to be discussing the importance of classical Christian education, and we are right now just trying to determine the exact date when Pete Hegseth will be on the program, and that will be a first time interview with Pete on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, so I'm very enthusiastic about that as well. But one of my favorite guests to interview, and it is very clear that he is one of the favorite guests that I've had on the program with my audience, is Gary DeMar, who received his MDiv at Reformed Theological Seminary. He is president at American Vision, author of countless essays, news articles, and more than 35 books. And he has been a featured guest on nearly every major news media outlet. Today we're going to be starting off with, among several hot topics that are facing the church and the world today, but we're going to start off with Black Elites Promote Abortion in the Name of God. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Gary DeMar.
Good to be back.
And Gary, before we go into our theme, do you have any new books on the fire that you're working on?
I finished a book called The Case for America's Christian Heritage that is all done. We're waiting to get some quotes back from printers. Printing business today is like so many other things, kind of hung up on supply chain issues regarding paper, bindery. They were backlogged because of COVID, trying to find employees. But the book is finished. It'll be a full color book, lots of images, lots of quotations dealing with the arguments regarding America's Christian past and the role that the Enlightenment played in it, and pretty much fundamental arguments that secularists and some Christians bring up about the founding of America.
Well, if anybody wants more details about anything that Gary is involved in, go to AmericanVision.org, AmericanVision.org. Also here to promote the 2023 conference titled The Right Response that features Gary DeMar, in addition to my dear friend who I just mentioned earlier, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Now, I know that it is very early for you to be very detailed about what you're speaking on and that sort of thing, but what can you tell us about this conference that you already know?
I always tell people that I really don't know what I'm going to speak on. I usually work that out on the plane flight to the conference.
Well, you can find out more about this conference. We'll be mentioning it when we have more information from time to time in the show, and hopefully even having all of the speakers at this conference interviewed. You can go to WriteResponseMinistries.com, WriteResponseMinistries.com, and you will get all the details. And I am going to try to be there myself. I believe it is being held in Texas, if I'm not mistaken.
Georgetown, Texas, which is, I believe, north of Austin. We're going to be dealing, I think, with some eschatological issues, and not just purely exegetical material, but the implications of eschatology to relate to where we are today. It should be interesting. I think there's been a major shift taking place on the topic of eschatology, and I think it's good that we get this more out into the open, because there are implications to people's eschatological views. I was interviewed by Michael Horton a couple of weeks ago and about the Christians in politics and so forth, and he had asked the very pertinent question: what are the implications of eschatology on something like cultural issues and political issues? And that needs to be discussed more often than it has been in the past, because I think too much of the eschatological force has been on we're living in the end of the world, Jesus is coming back soon, all the signs are there, therefore why bother with the world, because we're going to be raptured out of here anyway. So very, very important to discuss this topic.
Now, that's interesting that Mike Horton, an old friend of mine, going back to the early 1990s, interviewed him a number of times. In fact, he preached at the church where I was saved on Long Island, New York, and I wasn't able to be present because, sadly, that was the night of my mother's funeral. But I've known Mike Horton so long, he was asking me to try to fix him up with a Christian girlfriend. But it's interesting that he interviewed you, because he is certainly not known for being an advocate of postmillennial eschatology or theonomy. So was he adversarial in his conversation with you, or was he? I know that amillennialists do have a lot in common with postmillennialists, but tell us about that.
It was not adversarial at all. I mean, they were good questions that he asked. He sent me a list of those questions ahead of time, so it's not like I was going to be caught off guard. But I've heard almost every conceivable question there is on that particular topic. When you do this enough, you do it for 40 years. In fact, when I kind of gave a little rendition of kind of eschatological thought, Michael even said, "Oh, you've done this before," and of course he knew I had. And I wasn't the only one interviewed. I believe he had interviewed four people, pretty much on the same topic. But because of my interest in eschatology and my work in the area of eschatology, it became something that he needed to ask me, because it's something. Well, it's one of the reasons why I got into this whole eschatological debate in the first place, because I wrote a series of books back in the 80s called God and Government. And when I went out to speak on the topic, invariably there'd be somebody in the audience who would say, why are we bothering with this? Jesus is coming back soon and all that. And remember, this was in the 80s when Hal Lindsey had somewhat predicted that the 1980s was going to be the end. He said Israel became a nation again in 1948, and he said that was prophetically significant based upon Matthew 24:32 and the fig tree generation, and then a generation was 40 years, and you can do the math. 1948 plus 40 is 1988. And, of course, 1988 came and went. And then there was also the book by Edgar Wisnett called 88 Reasons Why the Rapture is in 1988. And then Chuck Smith did the same sort of thing. So there was a preoccupation with this immediacy of this, of the rapture of the church. Now, not every premillennialist believed that, not every dispensationalist believed that, but it was a very popular view. Late Great Planet Earth sold in the neighborhood of 20 some million copies. And the whole thing was revived again with the Left Behind series, which just recapitulated everything that was said, but set no dates. But a lot of people have gravitated to this position and can't really see any other position out there, because they hear of wars and rumors of wars, and we don't hear famines that much anymore, but people claim weather conditions and earthquakes and all that. And then say, well, how could things get any better? Look how bad everything is. And I think it has affected, you know, numerous Christians over the years about, you know, why bother? Because it's the end. And I've even gotten emails as recently as a few weeks ago from people who held that position, and they actually made life-changing decisions based upon that eschatological position.
And in fact, the recent speech by Joe Biden in Philadelphia, I think, may even have many post-millennialists believing he is the Antichrist. That was quite a blood-curdling speech that he gave.
Yeah, and look, this is important. I know this wasn't our initial topic, but this is important. When people see stuff like that, they do make this jump. But they made the jump in the 1920s. And even earlier than that, you go, there's a whole history of this. We published a book a number of years ago by Frank Gummerlach called The Day and the Hour, where he went over nearly 2,000 years of this predicting based upon the same types of things. But in 1926, Oswald J. Smith came out with a book on the Antichrist, and it was supposed to be Mussolini was the Antichrist. And then, of course, Adolf Hitler was the big, big Antichrist. And then most recently, Mikhail Gorbachev died, and I have a couple books in my library where he was the Antichrist. And then, of course, Russia invades Ukraine and says, oh, there, that's going to be a fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39. You can just go on and on with this. There's nothing new in any of this. But what we're seeing here is the unraveling of secularism. And this is what typically happens. The left overplays its hand, and as a result of that, they come up with extremist positions, and then you end up paying for the consequences of those, because the end doesn't take place. What you end up happening is with the Russian Revolution or the French Revolution, you have a horrible, horrible situation taking place where literally communism in the 20th century, was, you know, 100 million people died. But we're still here even after all of that. But I know people say, oh, it's different this time. It's possible that it's different this time. But Christians need to wake up and need to get involved in every area of life. And they need to get involved politically, not to see politics as their savior, but to see that politics is not their savior. And so to get involved and to decrease the power of the civil magistrate, you know, get it back to its constitutional base, close down numerous agencies that have no constitutional basis and are bankrupting us, and then turn things over based upon the Ninth and Tenth Amendments to the Constitution back to the states. And you can't do that if you believe we're living, you know, that, you know, Jesus come back at any moment and rapture us out of here, and there's no other position out there that can counter that. Well, there are numerous positions out there that can counter that. Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3 says, they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all. And what we're seeing today is the folly of unbelieving thought. You got Christians, you got people out there who are literally killing their future in terms of abortion. They are literally castrating themselves in terms of progeny. You look at what the left is doing, and it is a self-destructive worldview. And it advances in a culture because there are people don't fight against it. And Christians, unfortunately, are the worst at this. They give up too quickly, and they just say, well, we really shouldn't be involved in politics. And you can all hear, you know, Jesus didn't get mixed up in politics. You can't impose your morality on other people. There's a separation between church and state. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're not supposed to judge. You hear all of these cliches that keep people out of the battle that we are facing today.
Well, the first thing that we are going to highlight in our conversation today is Black Elites Promote Abortion in the Name of God. This actually has been a sad and tragic problem for decades, but in a day and age when there are far more television channels, you have cable news, and you have the internet, these kinds of things are more prominent in the eyes and ears of the populace. And I was even very saddened, even though I never viewed, or at least as long as I can remember after becoming a regenerate believer, I have not viewed Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as my brother in Christ, but I always held him in a favorable light in other ways. I mean, he was an apostate. He denied the pillars of the faith, and he was an adulterer, which is now proven beyond a doubt and even supported as fact by people who are strong allies of Dr. King. But I was duped, if you will, or I don't know if it was a purposeful thing, so maybe that's a poor word, but I believed, because of many pro-life folks claiming Dr. King was pro-life and claiming with reasonable certainty that if he had lived past the legalization of abortion, that he would have been a champion for the rights of the unborn. I had believed that, having read excerpts of things he said here and there that seemed to prove that he had some kind of a view of the sacredness of life before birth. But then I had Virgil Walker on my program recently. I don't know if you know Virgil, but Virgil is...
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, in fact, Virgil is one of the narrators of Larry Elder's new documentary, Uncle Tom 2. But I had Virgil Walker on recently on the theme, My Letter to Black Pastors, a Challenge to Repent from the Apathy Over an Advocacy of Abortion Infanticide. And he clued me in to something that I did not know. Martin Luther King was a pro-abortionist and was the first recipient of the Margaret Sanger Award. I didn't even realize that. But tell us about what you wanted to say today about this horrific thing that is being more frequently heard and seen in the media about Black elites promoting abortion in the name of God.
Well, one of the other things is, you mentioned Margaret Sanger Award. I mean, Planned Parenthood, you go back and read, it wasn't called Planned Parenthood back then. It's escaping me as to what it was. Probably hit me in about 10 minutes or so. And it they went, Planned Parenthood went into minority communities and actually recruited black pastors to help promote abortion. And there have been a number of times when Planned Parenthood actually put a black woman in charge of Planned Parenthood. And so this isn't anything new among the black population. This has been going on for a very, very long time. And one of the reasons why a lot of blacks support abortion is that they are elitists. They're very much like whites who support abortion. They are elitists. Certain types of black people shouldn't have children, in the same way that certain types of white people shouldn't have children. Again, there is.
You mean in their rhetoric and propaganda? not in yours.
I mean, this has been their message. Look, the politics is a mean and nasty game, and people will pick a position to gain votes and then change that position once they've gained those votes. I mean, it was Bill Clinton, Barack Obama came out initially not supporting homosexual marriage, so they had a number of Christians, probably a pretty good percentage of them, who ended up voting for them because, well, they're going to support the sanctity of marriage. Well, as soon as they got into power, they flipped because they saw where the winds were going on all this. And then you had Jesse Jackson years ago claiming that abortion was black genocide.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know if Virgil, talked about Jesse Jackson and all this, but as soon as he ran for president and he knew where the political winds were blowing at that time, he changed his position. What's happening among those on the left is that they're starting to use the Bible to support their positions on things. For the longest time, you find anybody who quoted the Bible was, imposing their religion on other people. But see, only conservatives can be condemned for using the Bible. But when Hillary Clinton was asked of what her favorite book was, she said the Bible. And because she knew that there were a number of people, the middle of the roaders out there who aren't really clued in on things, and she could capture a lot of those because she was speaking religiously on things and thought, she's not lying to us. And while I don't like, I've got problems with the Republicans, maybe Hillary Clinton is a middle of the roader here. So this has been a technique used for a very, very long time. I just saw something the other day where a black representative said, isn't it great that God gave us two arms because on one arm we can get the COVID shot and on the other arm we can get the flu shot?
Yes, I saw that.
I mean, I'm thinking last year I had my left kidney removed and people come up to me, they say, isn't it great that you have two kidneys? Well, yeah, it is great and I'm really thankful I did have two kidneys. we don't have two livers, we don't have two hearts and so forth. So it's not a great argument, but again, I am thankful that it was just my kidney. A good friend, I don't know if you knew who Marshall Foster was, but he had pancreatic cancer and that's pretty much a death sentence. But again, the left is using the Bible in order to make its case. And one of the things, the way that they're doing this is what Al Sharpton, he urged Democrats to change the message on abortion, and I'm quoting now, in a way that it is about choice. It's not about saying I support abortion or not. And so for Sharpton aborting, and I think what we need to do as Christians and conservatives, we need to stop using the word abortion. We need to start using the phrase killing developing babies in their mother's womb. Language means something, and we need to start changing the language. It's no accident that the homosexual movement, switched everything from sodomy and even homosexuality to the fact gay rights. Why did they do that? To mask what their worldview. And they've done the same thing with abortion. It's about choice. And so we need to start saying it's about killing unborn babies. And so we need to shift the debate to that.
In fact, do you agree with Jeff Durbin and others who actually say even further we should stop using the term pro-life and call our cause abortion abolition or murder abolition?
The pro-life thing is because the left turns that around. Oh, so you're against the death penalty, I don't think that. I think pro-life is not a good way to do this either. I think we need to start calling it killing unborn babies. That's very simple.
Right.
What do you mean killing unborn babies?
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. It's killing unborn babies. That will immediately shift the debate. It would immediately force the other side to say, wait a minute, they're not babies. They're not human beings. And say, I'm going to use a personal example here, but people could use something similar. The first granddaughter we had was born a month prematurely. And so that means that there was another month that most women have their babies in the womb. The baby is still in the womb. And the Democrats have come out and said now that we believe in abortion from the time of conception to the time of actual birth, and you could say even after that. Some are even advocating that families should be given maybe 2 or 3 weeks to determine whether or not they want to keep this.
Unbelievable.
They came out of it. So that means that my son and his wife with their newborn baby that was born a month prematurely. Hey, why wouldn't she have the choice to kill that thing? She has a month to make that decision. We need to push the antithesis, force them to live consistently with their worldview. Don't allow them to use their language. We need to use our language and force them to understand what this debate is really all about. And the American people, when they hear this over and over and over again, they start saying, well, wait a minute. Yeah, they're killing unborn babies. That's what this is all about. I think the word abolition, I just don't think it's I don't think it's good enough. I don't think it's specific enough. I think we need to start using killing unborn babies.
That's right. In fact, I was surprised when I interviewed Jeff Durbin perhaps a year ago. When he is working in the front lines with his fellow congregants at Apologia Church in Arizona, at the abortion mills, and they've rescued hundreds of babies from the slaughterhouse. He has told me that every single woman that they confront who is going into that slaughterhouse knows that they're murdering their baby. And I was totally surprised by that.
This is how bad it's gotten. Look, I love Jeff Durbin. He's done a great work. And Jeff is a guy who acts in terms of what he believes, because he and his and Candy, his wife, adopted a baby.
That's right.
And they were told that the baby had spina bifida. They still adopted this baby, and providentially, in God's providence, and they don't really know what happened. The baby, of course, we found out didn't have spina bifida, but they walk the talk. They believe they act on what they believe. I'm just talking about language here. This is all these movements that we hear today. Language is extremely important to them. And we need to understand what the language is. And now, of course, no one would interview me if that's the kind of language I'm going to use. And I remember somebody coming to our office some time ago, wanted to interview me on the whole homosexual debate here in the Atlanta. This is back in the 1996 when the Olympics were here in Atlanta. It was a big hullabaloo about whether Cobb County should get any of the Olympics because of the county commissioners would not permit homosexual couples to be insured by the county. And I said, look, the only way I will agree to an interview with you if the interview is live. I will not do an interview with you if it's recorded and you can cut out what I'm going to say. Of course, they wouldn't do it. Every political movement we find today is based upon language and the use of language and how it's used. Social Security, what the real name of Obamacare is. It wasn't called that, but it's always this flowery word.
Right.
How could you be opposed to that?
And a wording that would, if you opposed it, would make you sound like a moron, like. It used to be global warming. Now it's climate change,
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, because they said, hey, we can't do this because it was global cooling and global warming. We need to come up with a different phraseology. And now it's climate change. Well, the climate's always changing. They may be insane and evil, but they're not stupid.
In fact, could you pick up right where you left off there? Because we have to go to our first break.
Okay.
And if you have a question for Gary DeMar, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson, September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C., for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org, that's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Satan is the father of lies and spin, and the mother of those lies is a government who has rejected God. We have especially been lied to these last 2 years, and the COVID panic has been one of the central mechanisms that our government has used to lie to us and grab more power. Because Christians have not been reading their Bibles, we are susceptible to lies and are weak in our ability to fight these lies. God has given us His Word to fight Satan and his lies, and we need to recover all of God's Word, its serrated edge and all. Mark your calendars for October 6th through 8th as we fight, laugh, and feast to the glory of God in Knoxville, Tennessee. You'll be enlightened, edified, encouraged, and challenged by 10 speakers on the theme Lies, Propaganda, Storytelling, and the Serrated Edge, covering various topics that address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Speakers include Pastor Doug Wilson of Christ Church of Moscow, Idaho, and the whole gang at the Cross Politics Show and Podcast. For details, visit FLFnetwork.com. That's F for Fight, L for Laugh, F for Feast, Network.com. See you there October 6th through 8th in Knoxville, Tennessee.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
And we want to thank Dan Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for just moments before this broadcast started, for renewing his advertising contract with Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we ask of you, please, if you are aware of someone or if you yourself is in need of a personal injury attorney because of a serious accident or medical malpractice case, no matter where in the United States you live, go to 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, and make sure you tell them that you heard about the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates from Chris Arnes and of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Gary DeMar of American Vision. We have been beginning our discussion today by discussing black elites promote abortion in the name of God. Before we go to any listener questions, we were right before the break talking about how leftists constantly reword their battle flags, if you will, to make them more and more simplistic and reflecting something that if you just take the sloganry word for word, it would be somebody that everybody in their right mind would believe, and to object to their slogans would make you sound like you're an idiot. But and we were talking about how global warming became climate change. But if you could just pick up where we left off there.
Yeah, I mean, Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. And it's a problem. I mean, who wouldn't be supporting that? I mean, affordable, and it's going to care for me. I'm voting for it.
In fact, even pro-choice became women's health care.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Abortion has become health care. The Reduce Inflation Act, which is what we, you know, another boondoggle of a bill. And Frankie Schaefer, who is the son of Francis Schaefer, this was before Frankie went off the deep end and got woke. In his book, The Myth of Neutrality, he wrote this. He says, think of the use of labels to categorize political activity. Some labels are used to neutralize the actions of certain groups. Others denote being one of us acceptable. The words right wing, fundamentalist, pro-life, absolutist, and deeply religious are put downs more than categories. Conversely, think of the unspoken pat on the back and blessing that the following words convey: moderate, pluralistic, liberal, civil, libertarian, pragmatic, and enlightened. And this is, I think this is one of the reasons why we don't win the argument, is because we've ceded the other side the message. This is the message, and we are going to argue in terms of the message. I think it's a huge mistake. I think we need to stop using words like socialism. People don't have the slightest idea what you mean by socialism. They don't even know what Marxism is.
Right.
Socialism, people say, well, why wouldn't we want to be social? Being a socialist, you know, is a good thing.
And I love the Marx Brothers. they were my favorite comedians.
Yeah, they don't have any idea what Marxism is. You've got to take the language. You have to take the language in terms of where people are today and understanding those things, so they can get specifically. I know exactly what you mean by this.
Yeah, in fact, when a conservative uses the label Marxist, they are immediately labeled as a McCarthyite, even after all these decades.
Yeah, and even the word conservative, I mean, that doesn't really say a whole lot either. And I remember I taught a Christian worldview class at a brand new Christian school, so we had kids coming in from all over the place. And a couple of these kids talked about gay rights, da 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 da. And I immediately described what homosexuality was and why it was called homosexuality, and their jaws dropped. because I just described, and that was the end of the discussion for the whole entire semester, because they never really thought about it like
Wow.
Now, today people would say, hey, if people want to do that, that's fine, and so forth. But today it's different because, you know, you can't oppose it. You have to use certain pronouns. There's a guy in Ireland teaching at a school, wouldn't use they and them for some, you know, and they arrested the guy, fired him, and then arrested the guy. So the things have gone beyond just a debate over terms. They've got the message has now become part of law, enforcing compliance on things. And, you know, this gets back to the way we've argued our case over the years. And unfortunately, we haven't done a very good job of it.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten.
Even in Biden's recent speech, he refers to our opposition to same-sex marriages. They want to stop people from marrying each other who love each other, or something similar to that.
Yeah.
And does Biden believe a father can marry his daughter? Does Biden believe a mother can marry his son, or a father marry his son, or brothers marry each other, or daughters, sisters marry each other?
Yeah, and I know they brought up the thing as though now they will outlaw mixed race marriages because of overturning Roe v. Wade. And you know, it's again, there's a difference between killing unborn babies and a person's race. Race isn't behavior. Killing unborn babies is a behavior. Homosexuality, transgenderism, and that whole mess, those are behaviors. But think about the number of genders we have today. When I was in school and I took Greek in seminary, in certain languages there are genders that have nothing to do with sex. We need to start using the word sex again. There aren't these many genders. There are two sexes, and even a number of scientists are finally coming out and saying there are only two sexes. There are, you know, some issues related to some people born with dual genitalia and so forth, but that's a medical condition. So we need to recapture the language, and the left has captured the language of choice.
And it's interesting that we, on the whole issue of transgenderism, we as Christians, oddly have many allies now that are feminists.
Yeah, and they've been quiet for a very long time. And even when, you know, guys who are claiming to be women are winning these championships, where are the feminists on this? And there aren't that many of them that are speaking out on it. It took someone like David Chappelle.
Right.
To make the issue. But more and more people are coming out, and there is a great deal of pushback on this. But Al Sharpton, he says, look, the word choice resonates with people. And as a result of that, he's using the word choice. Whoopi Goldberg and others are using it as well. And the frightening thing here is you have black men and women using abortion among the black community, killing their future, and saying this is a good thing to do, this is a good economic choice for you to kill your future. And you imagine this, you know, the same type of thing that had taken place among, you know, slaves. Oh, well, we need this woman to work for us, so we're going to force an abortion on her. It's the same type of thing here.
And what's amazing is even liberal blacks of decades past, like the Black Panthers, were opposed to abortion because they recognized what it was. It was an effort to annihilate their race.
Yeah. Everything is racist. I just saw something today. Now, trampolining is racist. But the only thing that isn't racist among people who are always playing the race card is abortion. They can't see it. It's right in front of them that abortion is, in fact, racist. And we should not be surprised that the number of black people support abortion. There's a Thomas Sowell, who's a terrific writer. Anybody who's interested in economics,
excellent,
and so forth, needs to read Thomas Sowell's book. And one of the ones he needs to read is Ethnic America. and it goes through the very ethnic peoples and so forth coming to the United States and all that. And read the chapter on blacks and the different types of black people, whether they're Caribbean blacks or African blacks, there was a difference in the way that they were looked on by other black people. So don't think blacks can't be racist among their own people. So here you have Sharpton, who comes out and says, women should be able to choose whether or not they want to have an abortion. And we need to say, so what you're saying is, Al, you are saying that women should be able to choose whether or not they want to kill their unborn children. And he goes on to say, even if it is something that I do not believe in. So he's saying, look, I might be personally opposed to abortion, but I can't stop other people from making that choice.
Which is the worst position to hold.
Oh, it is, yeah. And I would say my first question to Al Sharpton would be, why are you personally opposed? What is about abortion that you're opposed to? And if he can't answer that and says, well, you're just saying that in order to not skirt the issue, I want to know why you are personally opposed.
That used to be Biden's position. I'm personally opposed, but the women has to have a right.
Yeah. Killing an unborn child is quite different from a woman piercing her tongue or getting a tattoo. Those are personal choices. those are authentic choices about what a woman chooses to do with her own body. And we have a media today that is not going to allow this to happen. But what has to happen is that Christian pastors need to get up and talk about these things from the pulpit. And I know a lot of them are afraid to do it because you have to know what you're talking about. Plus, you probably have, there's possibly some elders or some people who have lots of money in the church whose children or wives have actually had abortions and they're afraid of losing them. You've got to pay the price for your own choices as to what you're going to do in terms of abortion. The same thing happened during the slavery in the United States. We had pastors who didn't speak up on it because it's possible there were people in their church, in the churches that had slaves and were against the abolition movement. So I wonder if Sharpton believes that buying and selling black people is a choice that should be respected. While some people might be against other people choosing to purchase and keep slaves, in the end, it's all about choice.
Right. We have to go to our midway break right now. Please be patient with us because we have to have a longer break in the middle of the show, as always, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, is required by the FCC to localize this program geographically to Lake City, Florida, and they do that with their own public service announcements and other local announcements. While they do that, we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Respond to as many of our advertisers as you possibly can, and do so by writing down the contact information they provide in their ads. And when you cannot purchase their products, use their services, support their parachurch organizations, or visit their churches, when you can't do those things, please, at the very least, contact our advertisers and say, thank you for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron. If indeed you love the show and are grateful that there are people and organizations that love the show so much, they want to share some of the money that God has gifted to them with us so that we can continue to exist. And also, obviously, send in your questions to Gary DeMar, to chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Attention all men in ministry leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002, 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundsen, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundsen, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And never forget to make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. They bring back into print and publish nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our modern day, including such contemporary authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's solid-ground-books.com. Always mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making a purchase. Before I return to Gary DeMar's interview, I just have a couple of important announcements to make. If you love this show, folks, we are in urgent need of your financial help. Please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer mailing in a physical check to a physical address, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you'd like to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you want to promote is compatible with what I believe, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. and put advertising in the subject line. We need your advertising dollars as urgently as we need your donations. And remember, folks, I never want anybody listening cutting in to their budget that they have allotted towards their giving to their local church where they're a member in order to give us a financial gift. Please never do that. Never give your own church less money that you normally do in order to give us some money. Also, if you're really struggling to survive, please wait till you are more financially stable and back on your feet before giving us a financial gift. Those two things are commands of God. Providing for church and family, providing for my radio show, is obviously not a command of God. But if you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, extra money for benevolent and recreational and trivial purposes, and you love this show and you don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church, a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring church, no matter where you live in the world, I have extensive lists spanning the globe, and I've helped many people in our audience find churches, sometimes within just a few minutes from where they live, and that may be you too. So send me an email if you're in that predicament without being a member of a church that is Christ-honoring. Send the email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to Gary DeMar. chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Gary, we have a listener, Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania, who said, "I have heard that Senator Raphael Warnock, who currently pastors Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, where you are from, has a so-called Christian apologetic to defend the murder of unborn children. Have you ever seen or read its contents?"
No, but Warnock, who's running against Herschel Walker, it's going to be interesting in Georgia, two black men running for the Senate. Warnock, he won in a crazy election 2020 to fill the gap left by Johnny Isaacson, who had Parkinson's disease and then retired and then eventually died. I'm sure it goes along with what Al Sharpton says, and this is what Al Sharpton claimed, and I'm quoting Sharpton here. He says, "The Bible, if you're using this as a religious argument, the Bible is about choice." And this is what I'm hearing more and more, by the way, from, you know, Whoopi Goldberg and others are using the same argument. But back to Sharpton. "You can go to heaven or hell. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you had to go to heaven." So he's basically saying, look, the Bible's all about choice. What Warnock and Whoopi Goldberg and Al Sharpton fail to realize here that those are choices the Bible deals with. For example, people also choose to steal and murder. So what we should say is, following, this is called forcing the antithesis or pushing the antithesis. So if this is all about choice, so if I have the choice to steal and murder, that's okay. And if the people who were, you know, stealing black people from the African continent, bring them over here to our country in the Caribbean and so forth, they were just choosing to do things here. It's a ridiculous argument. And so it gets down to what determines what a person chooses to do is the right moral choice. And are there any consequences to such choices in terms of what God thinks about those choices? And so, yeah, the Bible does deal with the issue of choice. The Bible says, choose this day. Cain and Abel had a choice, and Cain chose to kill Abel. So this whole idea of choice is a typical tactic on the left in order to say abortion is about choice. It's about a woman's choice to do what she wants with her own body. And again, we need to start pushing that and saying, wait a minute, hold on, this is not her own body. And so Sharpton goes on to say, so where do we get this theology of forcing someone when the reality is you can't even biblically base that? It's a question of choice, Sharpton says. You are a minister as I am. You can preach to people to convert them. You do not make laws to compel them. But Sharpton does make laws, tries to get our government to make laws for people to make what he considers to be the right choices regarding race. So again, this is appealing to the lowest common denominator, and Warnock and Al Sharpton are right there. And these are ministers of the gospel, supposedly, telling people, hey, killing your unborn child, that's about choice. If you want to choose to keep your child, that's okay. If you choose to kill your unborn baby, that's okay too. It's all about choice, folks, and you're making the biblical choice, so now you are on God's side.
Yeah, and the left-wing rhetoric in response to us wanting to preserve and protect the life of the unborn is, well, you don't care about the life of those children after they're born, because of the fact that we typically do not agree with their leftist welfare policies and other things.
Yeah, and you know, you hear that too. Well, so let me understand this. And now I'm answering the abortionist using that argument. So let me understand that. So you're saying is that if a child is born, that the mother then could make a choice not to keep that child because it's too expensive for that child to live and say, well, I want to take a second chance. I didn't really like the way this child turned out, so I'm going to kill this one so I can have another one. I mean, these arguments are absolutely insane. And by the way, trying to adopt in the United States today is very, very difficult and very expensive. And there are people who are waiting. We have a young pastor in our church who adopted his child. He'd go all the way to Texas in order to do this, and then adopted another child. But these children that are being aborted today, there are literally tens of thousands of people who would love to adopt children. So that's just another one of these arguments that killing an unborn baby is simply a discard of that child in order to promote a political argument. We do care about children who are born. It's unfortunate, though, that leftists want to turn them into slaves to the state so that they can continue to use their vote in order to keep them in power and then to enslave these people even more.
Right. I interviewed, I guess it was probably a year ago, a pastor in Massachusetts on the issue of the great difficulty he was having adopting additional children. He had a number of biological children and a number of adopted children, and he was adopting more. And these were typically special needs children. And he had to do the interview anonymously using a fake name, and I told our audience that it was a fake name. But he had to do that because he was frightened about the leftist government of Massachusetts stopping the abortion proceedings. Because a pastor, an evangelical pastor, which used to be a no-brainer, what a wonderful candidate for adopting parents, a minister and his wife. Now, in certain areas, that is a black mark against you.
Yeah, and of course, in some cases, you have Christian families. I'm sure, or in some states, they're going to ask you, what are your views on transgenderism? What
right.
are your views on homosexuality? That you will not be permitted to adopt these children if your particular religious views are contrary to whatever the state has in terms of legislation on homosexuality and transgenderism. And so, like this teacher up in Ireland, he's a Christian, and on that he could not call a male, or is it the other way around, a female or a female a male, because it's contrary to his Christian beliefs, and so he was dismissed from the school as a result of that. And so it's going to come down to this as well. You've got to have these adoption agencies that are run by governments for the most part, and saying, well, wait a minute, what are your views on transgenderism? What if your child that decides, this adopted child decides that he is a she or she is a he? Will you then allow this your child to go through the transition phase of hormones and possible removal of sexual organs and so forth? So you see how all this is wrapped up together here when you have governments who have no basis for morality. Why is anything right or wrong anymore? Why was slavery wrong? If you're a secularist and an evolutionist, if you follow Aristotle's view, Aristotle believed that some people were born slaves. And one of the features of Greek culture was there were some people who were just born slaves. And so they had a same thing with Rome as well. If evolution is true, as one guy said, that if we are all biological accidents, shouldn't the white accidents own and sell the black accidents? Or if we are all biological accidents, shouldn't the black accidents own and sell white accidents? You know, we've gotten so anti-Christian today and so evolutionary in our perspective that there's no way to account for morality in anything with all of this. And so this is where we are today. When you have black pastors, someone like Al Sharpton, supposedly a pastor, coming out and saying, "Oh, it's about choice. If you decide to kill your unborn child, that's a biblical view. It's your choice to do this. You can kill your unborn child, and God says so."
We have Robert in Westchester County, Long Island. I'm sorry, not Long Island. Westchester County, New York, who says, "It is interesting that leftists for years pretended that black conservatives did not exist. They ignored them and refused to feature them in any kind of media presentation about their agenda. But now they simply have switched their rhetoric to the fact that these black people are white supremacists because the number of them has grown so much they cannot ignore them any longer. Isn't it an important thing to make sure that the populace knows that there is a very strong rise amongst black individuals who are very conservative and reflective of the teachings of the scriptures?"
Yeah, I mean, again, we always think that racism is a white problem, and yet racism is also a black problem, not only within their own population, but also blacks being racist against whites. And if a black person, say Ben Carson, for example, but Ben Carson, he's an Uncle Tom. Or Herschel Walker. Here's Herschel Walker running against Raphael Warnock here in Georgia for the Senate, and he's turned. Herschel Walker is now an Uncle Tom. He will just do the bidding of his white masters. So here you go. This, no matter what, you try to get blacks interested in politics, and a lot of them say, "Hey, I'm not going to vote Republican. I'll probably lose my job. I'll be, defaced in my own community." And it goes on and on and on with all of this. These people are hell-bent on changing the way our country works and runs. And there's this latest thing I saw today about families with children are more conservative. And so latch on to that. And so liberals say, "Well, wait a minute. We can't permit people to have more and more children. They'll become more and more conservative. So let's work up a scheme to convince them that abortion is the way to go for them. You know, get everything you want in life. You know, you don't need to have children. Go out there and get your job and your career and so forth. You don't need children. So we're going to make abortion easy for you.
By the way, whenever we discuss issues like this, I always want to plug an extraordinary documentary to my listeners. It is called MAFA 21, and that is spelled M as in Michael, A-A, F as in Frank, A, 21.com, MAFA21.com, and MAFA is a Swahili word which means genocide. It is all about the history of why we even have an abortion industry today, all rooted in eugenics and white racism, a desire to see blacks eliminated and eradicated from the face of the earth. And this is a really astonishing documentary, primarily hosted by black people who are vehemently opposed to the murder of unborn children. So go to M as in Michael, A-A, F as in Frank, A21.com. It is a production of Life Dynamics, and it's really powerful. I don't know if you've ever seen it, Gary, but I think it's really extraordinary.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the site. I mean, and anyone who's interested in this topic, which everyone should be, if you have black friends, Christian friends, even non-Christians who support abortion, they need to go to that site and watch this and read the material on the site, because it will give you really the down and dirty of what was going on among leftists and how they are working to destroy the black race. So you got the destruction of the black race through abortion, and then you have the denigration of blacks who want to leave the plantation of the Democrat Party. You've got a number of things going on here. This has always been a struggle for power and money by the elitists in our culture, and that's what we're having today.
And one sad thing, I have had men like Virgil Walker and Daryl Bernard Harrison, two friends of mine who have been on the show a number of times, they have told me that although your average citizen who happens to have black skin may even be aligned with the Democratic Party and political liberalism, in many areas, there was a time for decades where they drew the line predominantly against homosexuality, same-sex marriage, transgender stuff. And then sadly, they have told me since the election of Barack Obama, that seems to have crumbled, and you have more and more the case that your average black person is supporting these things. So why don't you move into our next topic, transgender historical revisionism.
Well, this again has really come out of the psychiatric world, and it's all about here a person has a particular body that is saying one thing to them, but their inner self. See, this is kind of a narcissism that's developed within our culture today, where your feelings, your inward thoughts are much more important and considered to be more legitimate than what you're seeing with your own eyes. And so people don't feel comfortable within their own skin. And so they are now being told, well, maybe it's because you're really not what your feelings are. Not what your body is, but what your feelings are. And Carl Truman has written probably the definitive work on this, and I can't think of the title of the book right now. But Carl Truman deals with this in explicit detail, and this is the whole idea of transgenderism. You're not what you're seeing on the outside. And this is because the focus of all this has been on the inner self, that you are what you feel. And as a result of that, you can be anything you want.
Now, are you referring to the book that I interviewed Carl on, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, or are you talking about a brand new one, Strange New World, How Thinkers
Yes.
and Acted? Go ahead.
Yeah, the Rise and Triumph book is a real scholarly attack on what I've just mentioned here, and he lays out the history of it and so forth and so on. And he was compelled to write something of a less scholarly nature, and that is Strange New World, which is a paperback, not as big, but it lays out the same types of arguments. It's really worth reading. If you know, again, Strange New World, I think these come from, I think it was published by Crossway, and his articles are always good, and he's got the way he weaves in all the history and with this and the psychological movements and the Marxism and Nietzsche and Kierkegaard and so many of these other people, and of course Freud. All of this is a background. This stuff just didn't fall out of the tree. There was a great deal of history behind this, weaving these various worldviews within the context of our world today, displacing Christianity, redefining what men and women are, redefining what the nature of this self is. And of course, when you don't have any fixed basis in order to make these determinations, then you can be anything. You can be anything you want.
And we have to go to our final break. It will be briefer than the last break. If you have questions, send them in as soon as you can, because we are running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org. That's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's Word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the Word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the Executive Director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
Satan is the father of lies and spin, and the mother of those lies is a government who has rejected God. We have especially been lied to these last 2 years, and the COVID panic has been one of the central mechanisms that our government has used to lie to us and grab more power. Because Christians have not been reading their Bibles, we are susceptible to lies and are weak in our ability to fight these lies. God has given us His Word to fight Satan and his lies, and we need to recover all of God's Word, its serrated edge and all. Mark your calendars for October 6th through 8th as we fight, laugh, and feast to the glory of God in Knoxville, Tennessee. You'll be enlightened, edified, encouraged, and challenged by 10 speakers on the theme Lies, Propaganda, Storytelling, and the Serrated Edge, covering various topics that address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Speakers include Pastor Doug Wilson of Christ Church of Moscow, Idaho, and the whole gang at the Cross Politics show and podcast. For details, visit flfnetwork.com. That's F for fight, L for laugh, F for feast, network.com. See you there October 6th through 8th in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
You don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at IronSharpensIronRadio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Corum, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Corum, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Corum, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333 or visit liyfc.org. That's LIYFC.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And remember, folks, for the first month of advertising by RoyalDiadem.com, any purchase of over $100 will result in Iron Sharpens Iron Radio receiving 100% of the profits. Whether you are purchasing jewelry they already have in stock, or you're having a custom-designed piece of jewelry made, whether it's an engagement ring, or let's say you're taking your church logo or your parachurch organization logo and turning it into a pendant or a ring or other kind of jewelry, you will... if you mention that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is where you heard about RoyalDiadem.com, you'll make sure that 100% of the profits go to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and there's only about two more weeks of that offer where we get all the profits. So please, if you're interested in either purchasing a piece of jewelry or having a custom-designed piece of jewelry made, go to RoyalDiadem.com and mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I have seen firsthand their masterful work. One of the sons of the woman who led me to Christ had a cross pendant, custom designed by royaldiadem.com, and it was mind-blowing. It was so beautiful, and it was mind-blowing to him. It far exceeded his expectations, as the ad says. That's no lie. Go to royaldiadem.com, royaldiadem.com. We are back with Gary DeMar. And, Gary, we have an anonymous listener, and he says, how do you recommend that those of us who are not scientists or doctors respond to the argument in favor of transgendered surgery, that there are people who are born with both genders, even though this may be a tiny minority? That sometimes can get people tongue-tied and stopped in their tracks with an inability to respond properly. Any suggestions?
Yeah, that's a very good question. But so you're dealing with somebody who may be born with both genitalia. Well, that's a physical medical issue. When you talked about transgenderism, there is none of that at all. People aren't born with two genders. They may be born with two, sexual equipment, if you will. In many cases, a decision has to be made whether male or female based upon something that is actually medical and not just a feeling. And so I would recommend that there's an interesting article. It's called A Molecular Geneticist Makes It Clear That Women Can't Be Men. And this particular doctor, brings up that very issue about, about people born with, two sexual apparatus with them, but that is taken care of. That's always been the case, but no one ever saw that as related to different genders in people. Where now we have like 60 or 70 different genders, and so there are many geneticists out there, and there are many scientists out there who are finally coming out and saying there are only two sexes, male and female. But people are so muddled with all of this because I saw something just recently. Almost 25% of Democrats think men can get pregnant. Well, if you've got people actually believing that men can get pregnant, then we have a mind problem here. We have a thinking problem here. It's the transgender. Well, these aren't men. These are women who claim to be men, who still have the sexual reproductive organs in them. So somebody who had their ovaries taken out and so forth, that woman who claims to be a man is never going to get pregnant. And I don't care how many men who those who have the genetics of a male decide they want that they're women now, they're never going to get pregnant. That's just never going to happen. But where are we in our culture today where 25% of Democrats think men can get pregnant? Do they understand the nature of the categories of what these words mean? This is what's happening is you got the public schools pushing this nonsense. And they're trying to push it younger and younger on these children. And then California wants to pass laws where saying that if a child, like they did with abortion, if a teenager wants to get an abortion, parents do not have to be told about this, which is a medical procedure and dangerous and also killing an unborn child. Now they want to do the same thing with this transition, gender transition here with hormones and so forth and so on. Going around the parents not even knowing that this transition is taking place. And I have nine grandchildren, and I guarantee you the youngest ones have no conception of this. They would look at me askance and say, Papa, are you crazy? Because they've been brought up in homes where common sense, biblical values are imparted. And, when I'm with them, I'm constantly quizzing them on things and forcing them to think logically, forcing them to think in terms of reasonable arguments, thinking in terms of biblical values. And it's gotten so bad that you've got, there's an article I've read here where that it's called transgender historical revisionism. And the social media users ridiculed a recent Scientific America documentary claiming that before the late 1800s, think of this. This is what is passed off as historical fact. Before the late 18th century, Western science recognized only one sex, the male sex, and that the two-sex model served mainly to reinforce gender and racial divisions. So, according to this, before the 18th century, well, people only believed in one sex. Well, look, I don't care what a person believes about the Bible, but I can guarantee you what we read in the Bible is not is long before the 18th century, long before the 18th century. No matter if you're an atheist or anyone else, everybody knows that the Bible was written millennia ago. And from the very beginning in what the Bible reads, there are only two sexes. God made them male and female. And all you have to do is read the Proverbs, and you will see the same thing, male and female. And you will see that men and women were on the same equality level here. You have the book of Proverbs, the woman who goes out and gets a job and she starts a business and so forth. Women were elevated in Scripture. The first to hear the message of the promised Messiah was, in fact, a woman. And, I mean, the women who went to the tomb of Jesus afterwards, women everywhere in Scripture. So, but this is what's being taught. This sort of historic revisionism and scientific revisionism, if you send your kids to public schools, which are dominated by this sort of thing, they're going to come out crazy. They're going to come out insane, and they're going to believe them the dumbest things. And some of these dumb things are very permanent in terms of removing organs and taking supplements in terms of inhibiting hormonal growth and so forth. This is crazy, crazy, and dangerous stuff.
And I'm very glad that it may be going on in other places, but Fox News has been televising interviews with people who have been mutilated sexually because they believed themselves to be transgendered, and they have had whatever they could do to reverse the situation, that which is not irreversible. And these people are traumatized, and they are, on the verge of breaking down mentally over what they've done to themselves and what people have encouraged them to do to themselves.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this historical revisionism, this article, isn't isolated to the classroom, textbooks, or social media. Anthropologists, I'm reading from an article, anthropologists are being pressured to stop identifying bodies in tombs as male or female. Historical figures like Joan of Arc are being redefined as transgender. And the overriding goal is to reimagine a history in which men and women didn't exist until being invented by imperialistic Westerners to repress the non-Westerns they were colonized. I mean, this is being passed off as science. It's being passed off as history. This is what's coming down the pike. And a lot of people, because they haven't been taught to think and have not been able to think logically beyond, you know, black and white and gray and all these other shades in between, get caught up in this thing, and they think they're being scientific by going along with this nonsense.
Now, do you think anybody really believes in this stuff, or is it just a response out of fear? They don't want to be ostracized in the community or viewed as anti-intellectual or a bigot, whatever the case may be. I mean, I have a hard time believing anybody really believes this.
Well, money talks, and a lot of the stuff is, you can think about the climate change stuff. The reason this is being pushed is because people get money. People get money to study climate change. People don't get money to study that there is no climate change. People get money. There are foundations out there run by homosexuals who give money to people to study this and to write papers on it. This is the way it works. Power and money is the basis of a lot of this. That's why the Bible talks about the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Nothing has changed. Same thing with politically. Why do these guys change their positions? Why did Stacey Abrams, who's running for governor, change her view on abortion or on homosexuality? Why did Bill Clinton do it? Why did Barack Obama do it? Why did Jesse Jackson do it? Because they saw the political wins, and there's money involved in this.
Well, with Barack Obama, he was outed by Joe Biden as far as the same-sex marriage issue was concerned.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's amazing. And you think, are we that cynical to think that these people do it for power and money? Well, I'm just telling you, that people will do all kinds of things for power and money, prestige, and to be liked in the community. People will do all kinds of people. Young kids join gangs because they want to be part of the group. And they will do almost anything to stay within that gang and to be part of this new family that's out there that protects them and accepts them. I don't think why it's not much different for people who wear suits and ties.
And remember the laughably ridiculous and pathetic interview that we all saw in the media when Ketanji Brown Jackson was being interviewed before her appointment to the Supreme Court and asked the simple question, what is a woman? And she couldn't even keep up with her own leftist party's rhetoric because she said she wasn't a biologist. But that's not supposed to have anything to do with whether you're a woman, according to them.
I mean, can you imagine? This is a Supreme Court justice here. If she
right.
can't give a definition of what a woman is, can she give a definition of anything? I don't know why someone didn't ask her, are you a woman? That would have been...
You're right. That would have been perfect.
That would have been it. Are you a woman? Yes or no? No one asked her the question.
Now, remember the years from a decade or more ago, going even back to the 50s, a little bit predating me, but the first sex change operation, Christine Jorgensen, was in 1952. And if you recall, whenever you would see, like on Phil Donahue or any of these shows throughout the decades, a person for ratings purposes, because it was such a shock value kind of a thing, they would have a so-called sex change operation patient come out and be interviewed. It was always that this person went under rigorous psychological examination for months, maybe even years, before the physicians would be willing to perform surgery on this person. They wanted to make sure the person wasn't a raving lunatic. And now you don't even hear anything about that anymore, and you have little kids making the decision to have their bodies mutilated.
Oh, I know. And this I don't know, this movie actress, Ellen Page, and now she's Elliot Page, and she had her sex organs literally ripped out of her body.
Wow.
And then if you look at Cher's daughter, I mean, what a travesty, you know, that.
Oh, yeah.
Turned out to be. And people, you know, people go along with this because feelings trump morality today.
Right.
Because most people don't have any basis for morality. They've been told that you cannot have permanent moral values. There's no source in terms of morality, in terms of a person's own feelings. And this is where we are.
And even Cher was initially opposed to chastity having this surgery.
And if you go back and read the history of all of this, Chastity Bono, she will tell you that she was seduced and raped by a lesbian babysitter.
Wow.
So she was messed up quite from the beginning on all of this, and her sexual identity is, you know, was probably completely mutilated. Her mother was, you know, was always, you know, some new relationship as well after she divorced Sonny Bono.
Well, we are out of time. I want to repeat again that the conference that Dr. James White, Dr. Joseph Boot, Joel Webbin, and my guest today, Gary DeMar, are participating in from May 5th through the 7th in 2023. You can find out more details about this conference, which involves eschatology primarily. You can go to WriteResponseConference.com
RightResponseConference.com. And don't forget about American Vision, where there is a treasure trove of information there. AmericanVision.org, the website of my guest, Gary DeMar, AmericanVision.org. Gary, I loved interviewing you again. You were extraordinary, as you always are. I hope you return soon and often. And I want everybody to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.